Well, rejoice, rejoice. My soul rejoices in my God. That is what the psalm proclaims this morning. And we rejoice in messianic realization, in the reality of the Messiah. We rejoice in messianic expectation. We await the second coming. And we rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's unpack each of those a little this morning. With the first advent, the first arrival, the nativity of Jesus Christ, the world really went from anticipation, from expectation to realization. We went from expectation to reality. And throughout Advent, different places, I've been speaking of the era of messianic awaiting, of expectation, how the people of God, the people of Israel, awaited the anointed one, the holy one, the king, Messiah. They asked, "Whither dost thou tarry? Why are you so long from us?" Yet with the accomplishment of the incarnation, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus comes, and John tells us in another place, he pitched his tent among us. He becomes Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, the one who saves, is made flesh to save his people. And really, what Christian is not stirred when we hear that reading we heard today from Isaiah? "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to release the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord." Release prisoners and announce that year of favor. And Jesus, when he reads in the synagogue, confidently announces in the Gospel of Luke, it's at chapter 4, verse 21, he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What it would have been to sit in the synagogue and hear Jesus say, "Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. Praise be Jesus Christ," right? Praise be Jesus. There was a marvelous little movie back in the 1990s, and it was about, of all things, the Dalai Lama. Before the change of the government in Tibet, he was the spiritual and the secular, like the government leader of that, you know, long-suffering country. And in the film, this young boy, Kundun, he's called, he always looks down on the city from his telescope. He's a monk in a monastery up on a mountain. He looks down on the city and he sees a prisoner in the jail down way below him. And the prisoner looking up sees, and he clearly makes an action of prayer. He bows and he prostrates himself on the ground in an action of reverence. And the boy, who later becomes the, you know, takes the government of the nation, he has a coronation, he, on the day of his coronation, declares this. He says, "I proclaim a day of general amnesty. I proclaim a day of general amnesty." And the prisoners are then indeed set free. And he again sees that same prisoner later through his telescope, but set free amidst all the tumult and turmoil of the world. It's a very powerful scene. And friends, Jesus is the one who sets us free. Jesus sets prisoner free. Prisoners of suffering, prisoners of loneliness, of poverty, and even of death. And Jesus' actions challenge us to do the same, to set those we might be holding prisoner free. And these are the prisoners of our own unforgiveness, of our grudge holding, of our obsessive control freak characteristics every once in a while. No one in this room, of course, right? So we might declare our prisoners free, declare a year of amnesty ourselves, declare maybe the coming new year a year of favor from the Lord for those around us in how we treat them, in how we love, in how we share. Second theme. So while an Easter people, you'll hear us often called an Easter people, we remain always an Advent people. We're also an Advent people. Advent, that time of arrival, of coming, a time of expectation, a time of hope. And the kingdom of God, however, although Christ has come, we have that kingdom of God with a characteristic of now, but not yet. Yes, Jesus has come, but the world retains the brokenness. If you watch the news, you see it every day, the brokenness, sin, and evil at work in the world. There was a rap song, sometimes I listen to different kinds of music, in the 80s, and I forget the artist, but he chanted, he goes, "I'm still a man in need of a savior. I'm still a man in need of a savior." And so are we all, sinners yet saved, who've turned to the Lord, but who still need Jesus. St. Augustine is the great reference here always. They say, you know, our hearts are restless till we rest in the Lord. But we feel that restlessness. And we know that no amount of eggnog or the number of Christmas lights and the decorations of your house, no number of video games for the young ones will fill the hole in our spiritual donut. The hole in our spiritual donut is Jesus-sized. It's about the size of a Eucharistic host, and we need Jesus to fill that. You didn't know you were going to be compared to donuts today when you came here either. The third theme, Jesus, as they say, is the reason for the season. He is the reason for the season, so rejoice. A seasonal favorite in music for many is Handel's Messiah, so beautiful. Otherwise, sometimes we end up stuck listening to Christmas elevator music of different kinds. But Handel's Messiah, we think particularly of a setting from Zechariah chapter 9, where they sing, "Behold thy king come unto thee. Behold thy king come unto thee." It's very beautiful, and it comes from Zechariah. "Exalt greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, daughter Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. A just savior is he, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, friends, more typically, the subject of a king goes to the capital. The subject of the king goes to the castle, to the throne room, to see the king. But Jesus, in his humility, comes to us in a literal condescension. He comes down to be with us. Slumming it, if you will, Jesus visits us. And in more poetic terms, if some of you like Shakespeare, it's like Shakespeare's Henry V, who puts on his vassal's cloak as a disguise the night before a huge battle, the Battle of Agincourt. And he goes among his tired and frightened army to see and experience and hear what his soldiers are feeling and thinking. It's also, if any of your families like following the Star Wars movies, like Queen Amidala, who in this one movie dresses as her handmaiden in disguise to go among the people of the planet that they're visiting in order to know the people and to know the planet. So you didn't know I was going to talk about Star Wars either, probably, right? So, well, our king is not too proud or mighty to visit us. He does not come in a chariot or on the back of an elephant, but meek and humble on the foal of an ass. And we rejoice in Jesus, meek and humble of heart. Now, with the first advent of Jesus, with his nativity, the world went from expectation to realization, but we still have that character of now, but not yet. So as an Easter people, we remain an Advent people. We await the second coming of the Lord, living in hope. We rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus, our Emmanuel, the reason for the season. Behold thy king come unto thee. Rejoice, rejoice.